Okay, the scripture this morning that I'm going to be reading is from Genesis 9, 18 through 29. The sons of Noah who went forth from the ark were Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Ham was the father of Canaan. These three were the sons of Noah, and from these the people of the whole earth were dispersed. Noah began to be a man of the soil, and he planted a vineyard. He drank of the wine and became drunk and lay uncovered in his tent. And Ham, the father of Canaan, saw the nakedness of his father and told his two brothers outside. Then Shem and Japheth took a garment, laid it on both their shoulders, and walked backward and covered the nakedness of their father. Their faces were turned backward, and they did not see their father's nakedness. When Noah awoke from his wine and knew what his youngest son had done to him, he said, "Cursed be Canaan, a servant of servants shall he be to his brothers." He also said, "Blessed be the Lord, the God of Shem, and let Canaan be his servant. May God enlarge Japheth, and let him dwell in the tents of Shem, and let Canaan be his servant." After the flood, Noah lived 350 years. All the days of Noah were 950 years, and he died. So the word of the Lord. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your presence with us this morning. Lord, we just ask that you continue to be with us, Lord. Continue to soften our hearts. Help us to hear the message that you have for us this morning. Lord, we thank you for our church family, and thank you for your son, Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen.
I want you to raise your hand if you are in elementary school. That's kindergarten through fifth grade. You can keep it up. It's a little hot. Thank you, Adrian. So you can put your hand down now. I think I got an idea about how many of you. You can put your hand down. It's okay. So when I was in elementary school, one time, I got the teacher asked me to come up to her, up at her desk, and to see me, and she had my quiz, and she said, "You know, this front page is pretty good. Did you know there was a back page of the quiz?" That was a surprise to me. I thought I'd finished kind of quick. And you know, you think something like that, and you kind of remember it, it'd be embarrassing enough that you wouldn't do it again. But I did it again. Not just the back page, like middle sections I've skipped. I've skipped middle pages. Didn't just happen in elementary school. When I went to junior high or high school, I'm pretty sure it happened. I remember in grad school, one time it happened. All those new schools didn't change it because I brought the problem with me. Problem was with me. It was in me. And I could start okay, but I couldn't always be guaranteed to finish the job. Now, if you've been going to Sunday school for a while, if you've been in church for a while, you know the story of Noah. And I hate to break it to you if it's the first time you're hearing it. But the great Noah, the Noah who built the ark, Noah who did everything, who did right while no one else was doing right, that Noah, he did not finish his life well. Even after the whole world got a new beginning, he got his fresh start, he still did not end well. So I want to tell you today, watch out for the fresh start, because it's really easy to trust the fresh start. Here's what I mean. Have you ever thought, you don't have to raise your hand for this one, that life would be better if you could make a little more money? Get a new job, get a new relationship. New house, new hobby, new habit, new diet. If you could start over, it feels like life would be easier. Life would be better. And maybe, sometimes that's true, maybe. But none of that works if you bring the problem with you. So I want to invite you to look for something better than a fresh start today. I said you heard the first story of the first big important story of Noah, the one that you talk about in Sunday school. And so today we're going to talk about the embarrassing sequel to that story. And here it is. After the flood, Noah plants a vineyard and he grows grapes. He makes wine out of those grapes and he drinks wine, but he drinks too much wine. You know what happens when you do that? You get drunk. And the kids can help me with this one a little bit. Can you put your thumbs up if you're a kid? And thumbs up means yes, and then the thumbs down will mean no. So if you drink way too much alcohol, can you think clearly? Yes. No. Can you speak in a way that makes sense and people understand you? Probably not. Is it safe to drive a car? No. If you drink too much alcohol, you're good. You can put your thumbs down. Good job. If you drink too much alcohol, you make really bad decisions. And Noah makes a really bad decision too. He does something very embarrassing. He drinks a lot of alcohol, and then he takes off all his clothes. And the kids can help me again. It's bad, yes. The kids, you can answer this. Unless it's the doctor making sure you're healthy, or unless it's your parents helping you get dressed, are you supposed to do that? No. You can say it. No. So, when a person drinks too much alcohol, they make terrible decisions. Noah made a bad decision, and then something else very embarrassing happens. Noah has a grown-up son named Ham, and Ham comes into the big tent, into like Noah's house, and he sees his father. And then he goes and he tells it to people. His brothers, Ham's brothers, Noah's other sons, they don't think this is funny. And I want you to pay attention to what they do, how careful they are. It says they put clothing or a covering of some kind on their shoulders, and then they back into the tent. And without looking, they cover up their father. They walk out of the tent. And what they did was really kind. That was very honoring. This was a person who was vulnerable, and that vulnerable means you can't defend yourself, you can't protect yourself at all. And they protected and honored a vulnerable person. Now, when Noah woke up, he found out everyone knew he'd been drunk and naked, and he was not happy. He was very angry. And so he curses Ham's son, Canaan, and then he blesses his other son, but he blesses them in a way it's more like against Canaan. He's very angry. And the next thing we hear about Noah is that he dies. And so Noah, this guy who starts his life out really, really well, for a long time, does not end well. He does not keep on doing the right thing. I wonder if you could say the rest of that phrase with me. I'll say the whole thing again. Keep on doing the right thing. Can you say the last part with me? Keep on doing. Keep on doing. It's really important because when Noah doesn't do this, it destroys three areas of his life. One is his work. Two is his worth. And the third is his family. Let's talk about work. After the flood, it's a little like a new Garden of Eden. And just like Adam and Eve, they took fruit they were not supposed to take. Noah used the fruit from the garden in a way he shouldn't have. And instead of growing it and enjoying it and drinking in all the goodness of what he'd grown, it becomes poison. Did you know that could happen? That if you use something good the wrong way, it could be really bad for you. That's true of just about everything, every good gift. So what you eat and what you drink, if you eat way too much or you eat way too little, you'll get sick. It's not just true about alcohol. You want to use God's gifts the way he wants you to, the right way. Because he loves you. He wants you to use his gifts. He has all of this whole world for you. He wants you to get good things from the land. He wants you to work. And he wants you to enjoy what you get from work. But Noah doesn't do this. He doesn't use God's gift the right way. He misuses wine. Now, almost all the Christians I grew up with, I don't know about you, but we believed that wine was always bad all the time because alcohol destroys families. Alcohol, you could lose your life with alcohol. It will destroy everything that you love if you use it the wrong way. And they weren't wrong about that. The only problem with that is that it's not exactly how the Bible talks about wine. It does tell you, it instructs us all, don't drink too much. Bad things like this happen. But you'll remember, one time at a wedding, Jesus made really good wine. He could have made really good grape juice, but it says he made wine. And he wasn't changing the rules. Psalm 104, 14 says, God gives grass for the cows to eat. He gives land for you to grow food. He gives oil for your skin. He gives bread to sustain your hearts. And he gives wine to make your heart glad. That's why it's there. So the Bible says God gives you good gifts from the earth to make you happy and healthy and strong. And then the story of Noah tells you that if you take a good gift from God and use it the wrong way, you hurt yourself and you hurt other people too. So what do you need to remember? Keep on doing the right thing. Good. Because if you don't, it will affect your work. And it will also affect your worth. Here's what I mean. I'll give a couple examples. There was a guy I was working with in high school, and many, many times he told me, he was a broken record. It was always that, I'm going to get the Camaro, I'm going to get this nice car, and then I will get a girlfriend. And then life will be good. And I'm not exaggerating, it was almost exactly what he would say. He really believed it. And, you know, it sounds silly, but we're all doing this too, right? It's easy, as I said at the beginning, to think that if you got the money, got the house, or in our house, it would be you get more RC cars and drones, or if you got a GoPro camera, or if you got thousands and thousands of Minecraft mine coins, then life would be really amazing. Then you would be really amazing. You'd feel amazing. So what I'm describing is honor. It's feeling really, really special. Feeling you are really, really lucky. A way to talk about worth. Does anyone know what the opposite of this feeling is? Shame. You can raise your hand if you know what it's like to feel shame. Not just the kids. Shame is really powerful. It's a feeling you get, and it's not just when you've done something bad. That could be it. But it's also you feel bad, like you are bad, and that you are dirty, you are sad, you are embarrassed, you are disappointing to people. And again, it's really a powerful feeling. And it's also tricky, because shame is stronger than the fresh start. So it's the kind of problem you bring with you, even if you did make all the money, even if you did get the really nice house or the really great job, it wouldn't necessarily deal with the shame. It's a little bit like a printer I bought a while back I had to send back. Every page that printed, there was this white line, a break right through the whole, everything I tried, and then the two sections were just a little off. And no matter how many times I tried to talk to the people, it just didn't work. So I had to send the printer back. It put a flaw on every page. So Noah gets his new page. He gets his new start. The flaw is still there. If the fresh start brings the problem with you, it's not going to work. Now, for Noah, the shame comes, yes, he brought it with him on the ark, but also it came powerfully for him after a specific incident. After what happens after he gets drunk. So when you're vulnerable and someone does something bad to you or unkind to you, like what happened to Noah, you might feel shame. Now, Noah had done something wrong. He drank too much. But you can give thumbs up or thumbs down again. Was it okay for Ham to dishonor him just because Noah had done something wrong? No, never. This is the point. You must protect the vulnerable person. You have to honor the vulnerable person. No matter what the vulnerable person did, no matter what that person was wearing or not wearing, no matter what, You must protect the vulnerable person. That's not what Ham did. One person was vulnerable and exposed. And what Ham did was he exposed him further. He was out telling people all about it. He made it more public. And that was bad. Because again, the point, it's our job to protect the vulnerable. And God is against it when people who have the choice to protect the vulnerable, to honor someone who is exposed, and you do the opposite, God is very against it. Because there's always another way. There's always a way to do the right thing. Remember I said pay attention to how careful the brothers are. They walk in very carefully and very honoring. They treat Noah with dignity. They don't take advantage of him. They don't make fun of him. This is honoring. It's really important to remember because, yes, this is a strange story, but other versions of the story will happen in your life and have happened. Probably every job I've been in, most at least, there's been some situation where there's a group of people and they're talking about other people who aren't in the room. And they are making fun of that person or they're talking about all the mistakes some other person has made. That person's not there to defend themselves. And they want you to get involved and enjoy making public whatever that person's done wrong. Bad-mouthing, talking bad about other people who aren't there. Workplaces, this grows really well. But there's always a way to honor someone who's vulnerable. There's always a way to do the right thing. No matter what, keep on doing the right thing. There you go. Good job. So make sure you hear this while we're talking about worth. Sin and shame did not take away Noah's worth as a person. It can't take away your worth as a person. It cannot change your worth in God's eyes. Shame's not powerful enough to do that. But it is powerful enough to make you feel like you don't have worth. Very powerful. Talk about work and worth. Let's talk about family now. Now, when Noah wakes up, he gets angry, and he says something really terrible. It's really important that we understand that Noah is a bad example here. Because for hundreds of years, people have used Noah's words to do some really bad things. Some very famous people, I could give you illustrations, have said that these verses mean that it's okay for one group of people to be above another group of people, or enslave another group of people, or after that, to stay above another group of people. So I ask you, kids and everyone, it might sound like a silly question, but do these verses say anything about the color of anyone's skin? No. Does it say anything about the people who are cursed or where they live? Actually, yes. It says Canaan. Now, Canaan's a person, but it's also a place. It's where the people of Canaan lived. It was kind of where the people of Israel also lived. So it's not a curse against people in Africa or indigenous peoples or against the Jews. Although all of these are things people have said that this is what this curse means. And not just a few people, and not just for a short time, for a long time. Not just minor writers or theologians or politicians, major, major voices have said this for a long time. But there are three important reasons why this is a very bad way to read the passage, and you just gave me one of them. Is anything you read about the color of people's skin? It's not. You had to really be looking for it to find it. But the second, and this is something African-American preachers have emphasized for hundreds of years, I could give examples from the 1850s or the 1950s, but they would say, look, this is not God's voice. Who is talking and giving this curse? Noah. And what do we know about Noah right now? He's been drinking. And so one famous preacher says God would not entrust an important message to a man with a hangover. It's a really good reason. That's reason number two. Reason number three is the curse or the prophecy doesn't come true. The book of Deuteronomy commands the people of Israel not to enslave the people of Canaan, and they don't. Now, the thing about prophecies is, true prophecies, you know they're true because they come true. And this one doesn't. It's possible to misuse God's gifts and do a lot of damage. It's also possible to misuse God's word and do a lot of damage. This isn't why these verses were given to us, but there are some really good reasons it was given to us. There's a message about this curse that we need to hear. It's really important. We'll make a couple points. One is, watch out for what you do or say if you ever drink too much. But the other, I hope this one hits more close to home, is watch out what you do or say if you were ever very angry. Anger doesn't do good things. I heard someone say anger brings a false sense of clarity. When you're angry, you really, really think you're right. And you don't get extremely angry unless you think you're really right. But James tells us in the New Testament that our anger does not bring God's justice. Anger will not make things right. So I encourage you and your family, and think of yourself, not other people, give yourself a zero tolerance policy for angry words. Because you'll never, ever regret any time you were ever patient. You'll never, ever regret any time you were gentle. You will never, ever regret any time you were slow to speak. These are all fruits of the Spirit. This is what God is growing in you. So cultivate that fruit. You can't ever drink too much of what you get from that fruit. It is good for you. Now, so at the end of Noah's life, he should be blessing his children, but instead he is cursing. He got a fresh start, but he brought the problem with him. And the big problem, the sin and the shame that he brought with him on the ark, and we've had with us ever since, is that it attacks everything. It attacks our work, it attacks our worth, it attacks our family. And you saw it, right? Let's step back and go to the big picture for a moment. In the flood story, the waters go back to what they were before the creation. They cover everything. They take away all the evil of humanity. It's a scary picture. But then when the waters are pulled back and it's a new beginning, there is a new Adam. You get a start over. You get a new beginning. But the problem is, Adam's just a lot like, Noah's a lot like Adam. The new Adam's a lot like the old one. Think of it this way. No, Adam and Eve, they take the forbidden fruit, right? Noah then takes the fruit in a forbidden way. Then Adam and Eve, they experience the shame of nakedness. And Noah experiences this shame too. Then Cain, Adam and Eve's son, Cain, is cursed because he violates the most basic human bond. He kills his own brother. Cain is cursed, and now Canaan is cursed for another kind of family violation. You see the pattern? Like a new movie, but it's the same story. So I want to ask you, is there ever a new beginning that you can trust? It depends on whose job it is to finish the job. Depends on whose job it is to keep on doing the right thing. Because when the Bible tells us about Adam, or about the new Adam, it's not Noah. It's not King Saul. It's not going to be King David. You remember, they did not finish well either. They ended their lives in very embarrassing ways too. And every time, time after time, when you read in the Bible, failed leaders, it makes you want a leader who will finally keep on doing the right thing. When you look at the life of Jesus, here's what you see. With his work, what was his job? What else do you know about it? Not much. He worked quietly. He worked faithfully. He served others. He used God's gifts rightly. But it says he didn't even have a place to lay his head. With his worth, he lived honorably. He treated people honorably. He was gentle and appropriate. He was protective toward the vulnerable. But then when he was taken to the cross, did you catch the detail that's included? That they take his clothes. He was dishonored and shamed. Then with his family too. He was a perfect son. And yet his own family turned their backs on him. And then on the cross, God in heaven, even the Father in heaven turns his back on him. He takes on the curse himself. And Jesus didn't deserve the sin and shame. He didn't deserve to inherit that, to take on that problem that we've been carrying, but he did it. He did it for you because he loves you, and because, you figure this out the hard way, you couldn't keep on doing the right thing perfectly. It would be a crushing burden, and you already know you failed. I know I failed. So the Apostle Paul tells us this, that God made him who knew no sin to be sin for us so that we could be made the righteousness of God in him. And that means that God treated Jesus like he was the sinner so that he could make you fully pure, fully good and right in his eyes, that you would be set free to do good and to be good, to experience not the shame of and the dishonor that we talked about, no, but to experience the honor and the worth of being the ones he loves, of being his children who he loves. The book of Hebrews says that Jesus is the starter and the finisher of your faith. And the writer compares life to a race that you want to finish. You're running and you want to finish the race. And he assures you, you do not have to run this race alone. You better not try. There's this whole cloud of witnesses. There are other people running with you on the race. And we're watching Jesus, who's up ahead of us. He has already run the race, and he's encouraging you to finish the race. He's inviting you to come. And he says, you're carrying burdens. You're carrying weights. Let them go so you can run. Your legs, your feet are tangled up with sin. Let it go. It's clinging on to you. Let it go so you can run freer. So that as you keep on following him, he's inviting you. You keep on running. More and more, you do keep on doing the right thing. And you feel so free. It feels really good. It feels like what you were made to do. I want you to hear today good news. All you who are weary and burdened, all you who are anxious and ashamed, someone better than Adam is here. Someone better than Noah is here. This is the new beginning, and he will finish what he started in you. Let's pray. Dear Father, you are good, and you want good for us. Help us to see in you what we need for today and for tomorrow. Give us your good news. We take it in so deep into our hearts that it comes out in our words and what we do, that others too would be invited into the privilege of walking with you today and forever. Amen.